Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, we got the Motley Crue pumping. They're tonight. They're tonight. Metallica tomorrow. What a week for concerts at the stadium. This is on my running playlist. I think it's probably the only Motley Crue song that's on my running playlist, but it is on my running playlist. Extra Point Show, Joe DiBiase. Been hanging out for the last few hours. I'm going to stick around for a couple more hours. Sal Capaccio will be along throughout the day as well. The Bills are live at training camp right now. They are practicing at St. John Fisher. Two more at St. John Fisher. Today and tomorrow. And then the preseason on Saturday, and then they return to Orchard Park for their the rest of their preparations for the 2022 regular season. Coming up on today's show, we got Jim McBride from the New England area. He's going to talk some Patriots with us. Coming up at 10:30, he's been covering practice and their training camp. And it's been a pretty bad one, it sounds like. So how bad? We'll get the scoop from Jim coming up at 10:30. And then been bouncing around the AFC South a little bit this week. We talked Colts on Monday. The Bills play the Colts, by the way, on Saturday. And Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans reporter, is going to join me at 11 on last year's one seed, the Tennessee Titans, on their depth chart, listing Treylon Burks as a third stringer, and really what their prospects are to win the AFC South again this year. How much of a threat are they? Malik Willis, a lot of interesting stuff going on with Tennessee. That's coming up at 11. We'll also hear from Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier along the way on today's show as well. So all of that is ahead. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get involved. There are some updates from practice injury-wise. The main guy not on the field appears to be Stephon Diggs. I don't know why, though, Stephon Diggs is not on the field. He could just be tying his shoes in the locker room still. Or is there an injury? Haven't heard of one. He could be away doing something. I don't know. But no Diggs on the field today. We'll get more of an update from Sal as we progress here as he is at practice. 803-0550 is the phone number. The Patriots are the team I'm thinking about the most the last few days. They actually open the post Hall of Fame game version of the preseason. So the actual preseason really gets going tomorrow, and it's the Patriots and it's the Giants at 7 o'clock. Both teams, you have reason to be interested in both teams. Actually a pretty good game. From a Bills fan's perspective, you get Dable's team, you get Daniel Jones, you get a little Tyrod Taylor even if you want it. Get a look at the former Bills quarterback, and you get New England, who everyone is talking about having just a disastrous training camp, at least in terms of their offense. And that's been pretty widely detailed through a couple of weeks. Mac Jones looking like Tim Tebow. That's not my words. That's Andy Hart from WEEI in Boston who said that's what it looks like. Holding onto the ball, holding onto the ball. Nobody's open. He's got to scramble around, spin around, throws the ball away. I'm still dumbfounded as to what Bill Belichick thought was going to happen when you put Matt Patricia in charge of your offense. Matt Patricia. I mean, it's certainly grounded in a level of arrogance that Belichick has about his guys, his coaching staff. I mean, he's always been very defensive about Joe Judge when he was the coach of the Giants and Patricia. Even when guys from his coaching tree were flaming out in other places, he would always be defiant that these are great coaches. And he's biased, right? Like, these guys have grown up and worked under him. They've made their careers working under him. So, of course, he would think, oh yeah, Matt Patricia's a great football coach. He can handle the offense. Because, you know what? He's just a great coach. That's it. Like, you might not even go further than that. He'll figure it out. Because he always does. He'll figure this out. When in reality, you're asking him to do something completely different than what he's ever done in the NFL. And maybe he'll figure it out as the season goes on. But through training camp, it sounds like it's been an utter disaster. Confusion. Not just, you know, the talent pool isn't up to snuff. I mean, that you can make that argument as well, but when you're hearing a Bill Belichick coach team being described as the guys are confused, there's a lack of communication, nobody knows what they're doing, Mac Jones is frustrated. These are all words of, you know, amateur-type coaching. The things you would expect from a Mike McCarthy coached offense when he steps into a new team. Not a Belichick coach team. But again, the more and more we get away from Brady being a Patriot, the more Belichick appears to be an individual that just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. The game maybe has just simply passed him by. There is also, I'm willing to listen to an argument of he just was a product of Tom Brady. That the reason he'll go down in history as the greatest coach of all time and the reason he has all those Super Bowls was Tom Brady. He struck gold. Now, he was smart enough to realize what he had in time to get him in there or to keep him on the roster and be willing to put him in there and not go back to Bledsoe 20 years ago. But what about the rest of it? This super evil genius reputation that he has built over time. Is it deserved? More and more, we're seeing evidence that the answer to that question is no. There also is a possibility. The answer to that question has always been yes, and that he has always been ahead of the game, and that his game planning and his preparation and the way that he runs his team does add several wins per season. There also is a chance the game has just simply passed him by. That happens to everybody. Who's the coach that even into their 70s, their late 60s and early 70s, has stayed with it? Like Dick Vermeil, maybe? Who's the guy? Because Belichick now, and the age I think does play into it, he is 70. And he's coaching the way you would think a 70-year-old man would coach. The same, it's not just him, it's Pete Carroll too. Pete Carroll's 71, still coaching the Seahawks. And the two 70-year-old men that are coaching in the NFL, the two head coaches in the league, that grew up with the NFL in the 50s and 60s, they're operating their teams as though this is the 60s. They're run heavy. They're smash mouth football. They're lots of, you know, defensive minded and conservative approaches when it comes to game management decisions. And I think that's where New England really is going to falter, is Can you build a competing team for the Super Bowl with a run-heavy style of football and a game manager quarterback? Because it seems like Bill Belichick thinks that will work. All of his actions in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, since Tom Brady left for Tampa Bay, have been just that. When you have Brady, you're going to throw it all the time because you have Brady. But when you don't have Brady, what do you go for? Are you desperate to build a passing offense? There is no sign that that's happening in New England. The Bills were, right? The Bills and many other teams, when they get the franchise quarterback or they get a guy they think they could mold into a franchise quarterback, even before they know, they try to do everything they can to make that player the focal point of a pass-heavy offense. The Bills did do it with Allen. Before the Bills even knew Josh Allen was what he became, the beginning of the 2019 season, who'd they add? John Brown, Cole Beasley, significant money was being spent to add to the skilled position players. They also had a fairly new offensive coordinator that was willing and able to build a spread out, pass happy scheme. And they put around Allen the infrastructure needed to win the way you win in today's NFL. And then he developed using a lot of those tools. The Cardinals have done the same thing with Kyler Murray. It hasn't worked out quite as much in Arizona as it has here, but they drafted Kyler Murray and it was like, all right, boom, we are going to pass the football. We are going to hire Cliff Kingsbury, who is going to bring in this innovative scheme. It's not really what's happened. It's more just he throws four wide receivers out there. But we're going to spread the ball out. Christian Kirk. And we're going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, right? We're going to spread it out. We're going to throw it. Because if we're going to win a Super Bowl, we need Kyler Murray to be the focal point. The Bills, to win a Super Bowl, need Josh Allen to be a focal point. Here's Belichick, and he's not giving you any indication that he knows to win a Super Bowl, Mac Jones has to be the focal point. You can make the playoffs with this run-heavy, defensive-minded style of team, but if your quarterback is not your best player, you're not winning the Super Bowl. And you need to find out if he can be your best player and your most important player, someone you could build everything around. Otherwise, you're just really wasting time. And Belichick...
sounds good, whenever.
Belichick doesn't appear to be in that mindset where, yeah, let me spread it out. Let me bring in, you know, the next version of Brian Daboll. Let me go hire, you know, Joe Brady. Joe Brady was available. He's now the Bills quarterback coach. Someone like a Joe Brady who's young and wants to throw the ball and is going to bring in new concepts to your offense. No, they settled for Matt Patricia, the guy he knew, that didn't have the resume that you would think, oh yeah, they're going to build around my quarterback to make him the focal point. There's no sign right now that he knows how to be a Super Bowl contender without already having a Tom Brady in place. And I can't see Mac Jones taking some massive step to where he can make good on that and lift all of it up in Foxborough. We'll talk more about the Patriots coming up in about 15 minutes. Jim McBride is going to join me on the Western Hotline, so stay tuned for that. Let's go down to Sal, though, who is at St. John Fisher, live at Bills practice. Hi, Sal.
Hi, how are you?
It's pretty cool out there, right? Weather-wise, probably one of the better days to be out there.
It's gotten warmer.
It's gotten warmer?
It is definitely cooler than it has been, but we're in the 70s now, I think.
Gotcha.
It's nice. It's nice out here, but when the sun is beating, you can feel it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When you're not, it's one of those days when you're not in the sun, you're like, oh, it's a little cool. When you're in the sun, you're like, oh, yeah, you can feel that sun beating on you. So it's a nice day out here, though, and I think we're going to have pretty similar weather today and tomorrow for the last two practices out here at St. John Fisher University.
So we maybe have a long list of injury updates to get here, Sal? Or at least not maybe
injury
updates, but guys on and off.
I can I can give you the, oh, that's really cool. And I can give you the, that's not so cool, right? So let's start with the, hey, that's really cool. For the first time this camp, I believe, Joe, the entire offensive line on the active roster is dressed and practicing. Everybody's out here. Now, I will tell you, nobody's in pants, like pants with pads. They're all wearing shorts, but helmets and shoulder pads. Everybody's out here working, except for like Butker. He's on pup, obviously. But everybody else, from your Greg Manses of the world, your Ryan Bates of the world, and everybody, they're out here. That is great news. Also, Isaiah McKenzie is back out here. Khalil Shakir is back out here. Taron Johnson is back out here. All in the, that's very cool news. The not so cool news is I have not seen Stephon Diggs at all out here. So if he is getting a vet rest day, usually they're out here when that happens, right? So don't want to sound the alarm bells, but, you know, it could be something he's dealing with. We'll find out after practice, hopefully. Tavon Austin not out here. He actually was on the exercise bike. So obviously something's going on there. And Tyrell Dodson is out here, but he's not practicing. He's basically not dressed for practice, and he's walking around with his team.
Could also just be like a personal excuse or reason why Diggs wouldn't be there.
Could
too.
Could be anything.
Right, so...
Could be anything. Well, hopefully, we'll trying see. To track it down. I'll get more information and tweet it out when I know after practice. But obviously, anytime you don't have Stephon Diggs on the field or anywhere to be seen, there's going to be like curiosity and people worrying. So, you know, we'll get the situation hopefully later.
We'll see what's going on with Tavon Austin too, Sal. I mean, we cooled maybe a little bit on, like, camp started and... Everyone was tweeting about Austin and talking about Austin. Like, hey, could he make the team? He was listed as the returner on their depth chart, so take that for what it's worth. But where are we at on him and maybe now how important it'll be that he stays on the field because he's got a fight still to make this roster?
Yeah, I think he's on the outside looking in right now from my vantage point. I think he's been passed on the depth chart, if you will, by, I think Isaiah McKenzie was already there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Khalil Shakir, he's going to make the team anyway. How many reps are there for these guys? Now, Marquez Stevenson, the guy he would be battling with, but he's hurt. So I think that's an opportunity for him to gain more time. But I think even Isaiah Hodgins is pushing for that spot, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah Hodgins is at a real good camp, and he has to be kind of considered in that conversation of if you're going to keep one extra receiver, is it Isaiah Hodgins, even with Tavon Austin?
I was going to mention him because he was listed as one of the immediate backups on the outside on their depth chart. And I wondered when you were looking for, like, who's the guy that passed Austin there, I wonder if it's him because he's learned how to play on the outside. He talked about doing a lot of work there in the offseason with Gabriel Davis. And I don't know, Sal, like, hasn't he always kind of been someone that has stood out to them at practice even since when they drafted him? He just hasn't been able to stay on the field.
He's been always a good, like, OTA minicamp guy. Then he kind of just doesn't show up when the pads come on at practice. Now, I don't think he's, like, a super big or thick guy, but he might have worked his way to kind of getting bigger and stronger. He's not Gabe Davis in that regard, that's for sure. I will tell you this. He has great hands. Like, he catches the ball really well in a lot of contested tough spots, too. Like, when you – sometimes there's a ball and there's a nice catch. I'm like, ooh, who is that? And I look, and it's 16, Isaiah Hodgins. So, you know, the thing about him coming out of college – was he also has position flexibility. Joe, we all know how much that matters. He can play inside, he can play outside. Like, yes, I know that they're kind of more loaded with inside guys, but if you need a bigger guy in the inside, I always refer to him kind of like a David Nelson. Remember him? He reminds me of David Nelson when he's in the slot. He's got that slender body, but he can create matchups against smaller nickel corners. But your point is right. If he's learned to play the outside better and can handle that, that would be a real big benefit to him trying to make this team. I think this is a super big preseason for Isaiah Hodgins now in his third year.
Are we trending away from where we started after the Bills signed O.J. Howard with, this is a sign, maybe they want to run more two tight end sets. Where do we stand on that front? What would your guess be when we start the season and we see how the numbers shake out and how they line up? Do you think we're still... Maybe there's still a good possibility that we'll see more two tight end sets than what they've showed in the past?
I do. I think, though, not in the traditional sense of people thinking, you know, double tights, pounding the ball. I still think they want to create matchups. I think O.J. Howard's still in that plan to do that. I know there's been a lot of talk about him maybe having a disappointing camp. Look, to me, it's always come down to what are your expectations? What did you think O.J. Howard was when you signed him? If you think he was what he was at Alabama, he's never going to be that again. That's just not his game. It never translated to the NFL for him like that. He's had some injuries. He was just a man amongst boys sometimes in college football games. Now, if your expectation was, hey, serviceable guy, can once in a while create matchups, be good in the red zone because of his size, I think that's who he is. And I think the Bills can use that. He can block. He's a pretty good blocker. He's a big guy. So I think that I think to me, they're still planning on using him in that role. I haven't necessarily seen anything that suggests otherwise. And I also think the philosophy of this offense is for Ken Dorsey to use multiple formations with multiple people, including tight ends, running backs, guys who can flip inside and outside, and all that versatility, so that defenses can never really get a full grasp of what you're doing to them, if that makes sense, and say, oh yeah, when you go against the Bills, you know you're going to get this. No, I think what he wants is, when you go against the Bills, you never know what you're going to get. I can trot O.J. Howard out there as a second tight end. I can also just trot James Cook out there to flex out wide. Like, you may have a big body, you may have a smaller guy that can act like a wide receiver. I can go three wide receiver sets. I think that's what Ken Dorsey wants.
And then real quick, Sal, is Christian Benford, the Bills, by the way, if you don't know, Bills rookie cornerback, sixth-round pick out of Villanova, is he maybe the story of the week for the Bills at training camp?
I think so. I really started to pay attention to him this week after some more buzz he was getting last week. I kind of thought to myself, okay, well, this is what they do. They put guys into the fire a little bit. They give him some reps, but he's been there, and he keeps getting these reps. He keeps getting opportunities. I asked Leslie Frazier about him this morning. I said, why is he getting more opportunities? And he said, was really interesting. I liked his answer, and it kind of gives you a peek into the window what they think about the kid. He said, despite basically coming from Villanova, he said when they evaluated him in the draft process, they never thought that the NFL game would be too big for him, and he could make the transition really well. And he has done that for them. He said he's around the football a lot. He gets his hands on a lot of footballs. And Joe, I think that's been, to me, kind of the difference between him and Kyrie Elam, actually. I don't think Kyrie Elam has had a bad camp, but I don't see him getting hands on footballs as much as I want. I think Christian Benford's actually got his hands on more footballs. That doesn't mean that they're going to go and he needs to necessarily be the starter. There's a lot of ways to play defense. It doesn't have to be doing that. But to me, that's been the difference between the sixth-round pick out of Villanova and the first-round pick out of Florida, is how many footballs I see them around and making plays on so far.
All right, Sal, stay cool. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, no problem. Check in. If I hear anything on Stephon Diggs, I'll let you know. Otherwise, we'll get it after practice.
Great, perfect. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, we'll see if we get any updates from Sal. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Sports if you are looking to get him.
Corey, send me live reads today,
buddy. Get an update on Twitter. All right, so there is Sal on the Sakonis the Wester hotline. He's live at training camp. By the way, I want to remind you, we have a contest. Go to WGR550.com. Is your garage door ugly? Win a brand new door from Clopay. Enter for your chance to win the Hamburg Overhead Door Ugliest Garage Door Contest. A grand prize winner will be picked on September 2nd. Enter by Sunday, August 28th at WGR550.com. I'm kind of... Anyone else curious about some Bills preseason fantasy football? Anybody? Is that a bad idea? Is that a good idea? I kind of want to have a draft of some sort. Tanner Gentry, Isaiah Hodgins, Matt Barkley. Who's the Bills' fourth string running back? Blackshear, I forget his name. Kid out of Virginia Tech. Just, I think this could be an idea, a playable idea that maybe we can work with here. Preseason Bills fantasy football. Saturday gets going. Bills and Colts. Tomorrow, again, is the opening of the preseason, if you don't count the Hall of Fame game. Patriots and Giants at 7. And then the Titans at 7:30. We'll talk more about the Titans coming up at 11. Teron Davenport of ESPN is going to join me on as we kind of bounce around the AFC South a little bit more. He'll join me coming up at 11. I've never been a big fan of the Titans. I think they were not as good as their record last year. And I think this year might just prove it. They've got some storylines going on at camp, so we'll talk with him coming up at 11 o'clock. But coming up next on the Western Hotline, Jim McBride from the Boston Globe is going to join me. He's been covering Patriots camp, of course, covers the Patriots, and they play tomorrow, so off in practice. It's some time to join us, so he'll be doing that coming up next. So stay tuned. Patriots camp, how bad has it really been? The rumors and a lot of the tweets will tell you Whew, it's been brutal for Mac Jones and the Patriots offense. We'll find out more just how bad it's been from Jim McBride when we come back. Joe DiBiase, Corey Jackson, Sal Capaccio, all hanging out here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.